Looking for hope? House of Possibilities offers children and adults with disabilities a path to greater independence. From social to recreational programs to overnight respite and career and community access opportunities, House of Possibilities is changing the way people see disabilities and their program participants see themselves. Visit houseofpossibilities.org to learn more or to support their work. That's houseofpossibilities.org. House of Possibilities. See what belonging can do.
B-Pod Studios.
This is Felger.
Felgstradamus.
In Mass.
You're not going to get anybody half decent for free.
Presented by DraftKings on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
You always talked about how this was going to happen someday and that you just needed to pitch better in the postseason. You were always open about it. Now that you have, now that you've succeeded at this stage, what does it feel like? And how difficult was it to overcome all that?
It was tough, absolutely. To answer that question in spring training, day and day, over and over. Anytime it got to September, playoffs, I hold all the cards now, and that feels so good. So that feels so good. I can't tell you how good it feels to hold that trump card. You guys have had it for a long time. You've played that card extremely well, but you don't have it anymore. None of you do, and that feels really good.
This guy. Hour number two, Felger Mass, presented by DraftKings. Trump card. 13 months later, whatever, 14 months later, you are a salary dump, pal. And to get someone to take you, they had to eat $16 million a year and include one of the best players in the game just to get another team to take your ass. So some trump card. Good job. There you go, buddy. See you later.
I mean, he really did undermine himself. It's unbelievable. Like, talk about a guy who just could not get out of his own way.
So that to me is the best news from the day. And I'm glad they included him. I know it is a tough pill to swallow that you had to basically give away your best player to get rid of this guy, but I'm glad they got creative like that and used this opportunity to also pitch David Price. It's why from the start I thought the Dodgers were a better mix, because I just thought they were more apt to take on David Price versus the San Diego Padres. The bad news is your prospect return is probably less than what it would have been, right? Don't you think? If there was no David Price in there, were you probably having better prospects?
Yep, probably.
You know, even at half the money?
But if they're going to turn people around, you know, and I'm hot, and I, you know, just because I think the ownership is slimy and everything else, but people that truly care, your paying customers, your season ticket holders, I understand why they're pissed off, but if you're going to turn them around, well, you do that by winning, right? Like, as Gasper always says, Chris Gasper, the Boston Globe, winning's the best he owner it. And you need to be likable. Well, by getting rid of David Price, you're already more likable, so maybe they're already on their way there.
Okay, back to your thoughts, as promised. Corey in New Hampshire. Hi, Corey.
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Good.
Hey, thanks a lot for keeping us all entertained during this hardest part of the year. First off, two quick comments. This is obviously a case of poor planning and mismanaging of the budget. Shouldn't the MLB start to look at these contracts and what they're doing to the product that's being put on field? Like, literally, are the teams are able to surround Trout, Harper, now Mookie with the playoff contending team? But my second comment is really, I think, you know, conspiracy theory being here from New England. Could the Red Sox be doing the Dodgers a solid for the impeding allegation?
Could be doing who a solid? I'm sorry.
I missed the part.
His phone wasn't good enough. I don't think this has anything to do with the cheating allegations. Nothing. 0.0. They don't think they're going to get punished. So this was something that John Henry spoke for over a year about getting under the CBT. John Henry spoke in the past about not being able to sign all these good young players that have come up at the same time. This predates Heim Bloom. This predates the cheating. This predates this offseason. This was happening, and this was in the cards for years, frankly. Okay, so it's not a response to anything. His first thing, should Major League Baseball do something to cap these salaries, max contracts like they have in the NBA? I'm sure the owners would love it.
Yeah, the union doesn't want to do it.
Okay, lock out the players and cancel a season to get the players to agree to it. That's your answer, because the players will never go for it. The only way you are going to get a salary cap or max contracts in Major League Baseball is if you lock them out and we lose a season. And I don't think, you know, the scary thing there would be, would people really care?
I know it, right? Dangerous.
You know, what if they can't? Because like when they canceled the World Series and we lost baseball back in those strike years in the 80s and whatnot, it was a big deal. Life stopped and people were pissed. Now, if Major League Baseball took a half a season off, would anyone even notice? Would anyone even care?
I'm not sure. Maybe in July.
But anyway, that's what it's going to take.
Yeah.
So otherwise, the players are never going to go for it.
And I'm not sure even that would work. But you know, the thing you raised earlier about being able to buy your way out of bad contracts, the union should be in favor of that.
That's right. You get more money up front.
Like you would think.
And also because, I mean, just make it so the player gets all his money, but for tax purposes, you get a break.
Correct. In other words, the player doesn't end up with any less money. You just give the team an accounting mechanism to be able to soften the luxury tax bill.
Right.
So that if you have a, you know, you have a bad deal, it allows the team to go back on the market and get another solution.
So I think, and just as I'm thinking it through, the problem there would be small market teams would say,
hate it.
Well, now you're just, the whole reason we have the tax in the first place is to punish the big market teams. Well, now you're just giving them another out. And that defeats the purpose of trying to bring competitive balance to the thing.
Yeah, and I would tell the small market teams to go pound sand is what I would do, but that's another story for another day.
Bob in Hanover on Mookie Betts. Go.
Yeah, I just wanted to say a couple of things, first of all. You kind of stole my thunder on this, Mike. Price is definitely a cancer on this ball club. Always was, always will be. But the thing that really started the Red Sox off in a wrong foot was Dombrowski. Dombrowski should be spelled with D-U-M-B, okay? He raped the farm system. In his first couple of years, he traded away 20, just about 20 of the best prospects to bring in probably Price and Sale and whatever. He gave crazy contracts out to Eovaldi, Price, and Sale. And here you are now. Does the end justify the means? I don't know. This guy, Dombrowski, is the root of all evil. He did it in Detroit. He's doing it now, or he did it now. And here you go. You're left with nothing.
Okay, Bob, do you blame Tony, thanks for the call. Do you blame John Henry or Dave Dombrowski more?
I blame both. But at the end of the day, Henry brought him in, knew what he was. And again, I'll tell you, I go back to the end of the World Series season. Like, at that point, Henry said, I was starting to get the sense that Dave and I were thinking differently. Okay, we were thinking differently. Then why the hell did you let him sign Chris Sale and Nathan Eovaldi?
So maybe that's what he was talking about, that I was scared of the Chris Sale contract. He wanted it. We disagreed, and I knew right then we were headed for a divorce. But go ahead and sign him anyway.
Well, right.
What?
So that's the one I still don't get that. How does that happen? If you are the owner of the team and you have doubts about your president of baseball operations, how do you then let him sign two pitchers for what amounted to $250 million, or pretty damn close? It was a 145 for Sale and 68 for Eovaldi. I mean, what are we doing?
Would you have rather them ditched Eovaldi or Price for the money?
Eovaldi.
I disagree totally.
So you're going to factor in the off-field stuff.
Well, yeah, totally.
Yeah, which is not wrong. I'm not telling you you're wrong.
But by the way,
I'm telling you, Nathan Eovaldi at $17 million is one of the gross overpayments in baseball.
I still want to see it. I still like his stuff. I still like his makeup. I think he's a good pitcher with great stuff.
You and everybody else for the last 10 years.
I hear you. But we've all seen what it looks like when he hits his ceiling.
Yeah, once every 10 years.
Well, I don't know. I mean, let's go for 2 and 10. I just think the ceiling's high with that guy. And if he hits his ceiling, 17 a year is really not that big of a deal.
Yeah, he'll never hit it. That's all.
Because you don't think he'll stay healthy?
Yep. That's part of it. And the other thing is, even, you know, the year he was here, he got off to a good start. And then, you know, he kind of floundered for a little while. He was lights out in October. So if you want to tell me his stuff plays in October, the old Alex Spear line,
yeah,
you might be right.
And I love the fact you can put him in the bullpen in October, because that's a big, you know, sort of wave of the future there. Putting those guys back there, he can do that. I don't know. I like Nathan Eovaldi. I want to see it. I want to see it through with him, because I think there's ceiling there that you haven't tapped into.
So, I you know, adding in the off-field thing, Eovaldi is a choice. I just think Price is a superior pitcher.
Nick is calling us from Twin River. Hi, Nick.
Hi. So, I want to comment on how when the Red Sox took Mookie Betts to arbitration, they wanted to stick it to him, and then after that, he wanted to stick it back to them. And also, I want to say how the Sale and Eovaldi contracts are going to almost be as bad as Pablo and Henley, but nothing will ever be that bad.
So I don't think they'll ever be that bad. I don't agree. What was the first thing you said? Of course, I can't remember it.
Mookie and arbitration wanted to stick with the Red Sox.
And so that planted the seeds. I think it's beyond that.
So do I. I think Mookie had no interest in a long-term deal right out of the gate. Right out of the gate, he had no interest. And so, again, if you're a team, and this is the part where I don't blame the Red Sox. If you're a team and you have a player with that kind of talent who says, I'm going to market, there's nothing we can do to keep you here. Well, yeah, you can give me free agent money right now, which typically is not the, you know, if you can do that, you might as well wait till he gets to market.
Right.
Right.
That's what I would have done.
Yeah. And so, but usually when that happens, the guy's gone.
I would have wrought it out, seen what the number is. And if the number is just so freaking stupid, I can't do it, then I can't do it. But then at least I've got my full 7 years of service time. I've contended and I've maximized my drafting and developing of that kind of talent. They did not maximize it.
So they fell a year short. There's no doubt. But again, they were sort of in a unique position with their player development system because it's barren. The other thing is, if he's on the market, what's to prevent them to go after him now?
Right? I mean, okay, but how rare is that?
Oh, it is. It's rare.
I mean, that's even more rare.
I mean, it's not apples to apples. The Yankees did it with Chapman.
Well, if we can get Garoppolo back here on the Patriots, Murray, then maybe we can get Betts back on the Red Sox. What do you say? Tim in Blackstone. Hi, Tim.
Hey, guys. To me, this is just the tipping point. The timing of the trade is horrific. Ownership has no pulse on the way the fans feel right now. They've raised ticket prices. Sweet Caroline's still going to be sung in the seventh inning. They're going to sell it out, and they're not going to feel any repercussion from it. And that's the most frustrating part. John Henry has essentially turned the Red Sox into the Globe of baseball, and it is horrifying to see.
All right, you know what? I'm going to cut. Thanks, Tim, for the call. Can we pick up the ownership part of this whole thing?
Sure.
Okay, let's do that. We'll get to John Henry right after these words.
Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub and streaming anywhere you go, on the Sports Hub app.
The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon.
Hi, my name is Eric Fishman, and I'm running as a member of the Adaptive Program for Runners in this year's Boston Marathon. Thanks to the Flutie Foundation, runners like me can achieve their dreams and finish the greatest race in the world.
Woo! The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
Looking for hope? House of Possibilities offers children and adults with disabilities a path to greater independence. From social to recreational programs to overnight respite and career and community access opportunities, House of Possibilities is changing the way people see disabilities and their program participants see themselves. Visit HouseOfPossibilities.org to learn more or to support their work. That's HouseOfPossibilities.org. House of Possibilities. See what belonging can do.
It's Felger and Mazz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Mazz.
I don't think you can allay fears that, you know, that we have free agency in baseball, and we have a lot of young players who will mature at the same time. We won't be able to. I mean, mature for free agency. We won't be able to keep all of them. It's just that simple. We you know, we may have the largest payroll in baseball, but even then, you can't keep all of your players the way free agency works these days.
John Henry, a year ago, can't keep all our young players. There's other sound out there. John Henry said, I can't remember, within this last year, we have to get under the CBT tax. So John Henry has been saying these things for years. And this is why I sort of take Chaim Bloom out of this a little bit, Maz. We're definitely going to grade him on the return. But I think he's got nothing but upside there. If the guys that he gets come back suck, yeah, that's on him. But I think we're going to blame John Henry. It's all going to go to John Henry. Because he put his GM in a tough spot. I mean, talk about no leverage. He's got to deal this guy. Only one or two teams could handle that kind of trade. The whole league knows he has to trade this guy, so he's got no leverage. He's got no leverage, and his owner put him in that spot. Takes the job 1 month, and then 2 months later, he's got to pull this trade off, and everyone knows he has to do it. Boy, that's asking a lot of your guy to come back with, you know, a great return. If he does get a great return, we'll praise him for it. Like, he bailed out John Henry.
Okay, I'm not even looking for a great return. I'm just saying that...
But if he doesn't, we'll blame Henry.
Yeah, Bloom's got to come through with something on this deal. This is why they brought him in, Mike. This is why they brought him in. They brought him in to make this move, to make this trade this kind of move. This is the whole reason they did it. is, you know, we need you to get some value here.
I agree with
that. We need you to get some value. And I'm not telling you, I'm not telling you to get the return that the Expos did years ago. And I'm going way back now on Bartolo Colon. We were talking about this in the hallway. They traded four prospects and like three of them were all-stars. I mean, they hit the grand slam on that deal. I'm not looking for that. You can't get zero here. You can't get zero. If you got to have something functional out of this trade.
John Henry and Sox ownership. Okay. It is remarkable to me that John Henry on paper, I guess, has owned the team since when? Call it 20 years?
Yeah, 2002.
Okay. So going on two decades, four championships. He spends out his face. When things are going bad or it starts to fail, he acts quickly and blows people out of here. I mean, like on paper, pretty much what you would want your owner to do. Spend, win, make changes when it's not going right. And we can't stand the guy.
It's unbelievable, isn't it?
His popularity rating in town is...
It's getting worse by the day.
It's sub-zero. It is insane how unpopular he is. When I think in some respects he does most everything you want an owner to do.
Well, up until recently, I think it's been this last handful of years that he and the rest of them come off as disingenuous frauds. And we had that call before the break, you know, and he's talking about like fan confidence in ownership. And he forgot about the main thing about this trade that I think looks the worst. They did it after Truck Day. They did it after Truck Day, which is their big celebration of starting the new season year in, year out. And they do it after Truck Day? Ugh. So they can hide, and they also basically announce it during the State of the Union when most people have their eyes tuned to that thing. It's just they always try to bury the big news, and they always try to come off as smarter than everybody else, and they always end up looking like idiots for it. In this trade, like again, if you're a super fan of the team and you just wanted them to go all in this year, especially with this bad offseason, I can understand your frustration. The way it was handled was bungled, because of course it was, because that's what they do. They bungle everything.
I mean, for a team that is concerned with public relations, boy, do they suck at it.
Oh, my God.
Well, they do. They really suck at it. That's part of the problem. The other thing is, look, it's been, you know, who's kidding who? The Red Sox experience has been schizophrenic for the last 10 years. To me, this really started to go bad with the Francona thing. Okay, there were little pockets in there, you know, going back to Theo versus Larry. There was always some level of infighting on the inside.
No, but from 02 through 010,
Yeah, somewhere in there. It was okay.
Steady. Consistent,
yeah.
Elite team.
It was fine. And then the Francona thing, and that really hurt them. So the say what you want, rightly, wrongly, the fan base loved Francona. And when that story came out in the Globe, I think it really did damage to them.
So that was 2011?
Yeah.
That was.
So
and Theo, for that matter.
Right, and they both left at the same time. So it's from 2011, the ping pong and, as you said, schizophrenic between this manager, that manager, this GM, that GM, winning it all, sucking, loading up, dismantling. Right. They've lost people.
Firing Dombrowski on the Patriots opening night. A mutual agreement to part ways with Alex Cora. You fired him, you frauds. And again,
we smeared Tito.
Yeah, you did. You know, so that really is the tipping point, though. It's the Terry Francona.
I mean, to me, that's where it really started to turn. All of a sudden, the public went, what the hell was this? This guy was here 8 years. He won World Series. He was a good manager. And you're stabbing him in the back on the way out the door. And then it was Bobby V, two last place finishes, a championship horseshoe that came out of our backside. Like, it's been all over the place. And I think people just said, what the hell is this? What kind of operation are you running here? And so to me, that's where it took a hit. And so how do they fix it? Still on this one, like, how is it that someone can't just sit there and say, hey, look, we know what Mookie Betts meant. We wanted to keep Mookie. On some level, he wanted to stay here. The math didn't work. We know that's a bad answer for people, but it's not a trade we wanted to make. We did the best we could. We felt we had to do this. We're in a little bit of a bind right now.
I'll take that one, given the...
But they've never really had anybody be able to.
So phony, and I'm a big fan of Sam Kennedy. Like I think he's a mensch.
Not accurate.
It is Sam. I'm a fan.
That's not accurate.
But you get him up on that podium with those guys, and it's just sock puppet.
We would ask fans reserve judgment.
Double speak bullcrap.
Oh my gosh! And see, to me, who rubbed me the worst about it was Lucchino at the beginning. I was like, here we go. Like, just can you answer the question? Like, that's how Lucchino used to drive me batty. Okay, absolutely batty.
Did we somehow cook the books?
So I always felt like there was this, why are you talking to me like I'm an idiot?
Yeah.
Can you please just answer the question? And so they don't do that. Why? And why they don't do that, I don't know.
We're just scrappy underdogs.
Like, if they just said, and Dombrowski was brutal at it. Farrell was brutal at it.
Well.
So, like, at least they had Francona, to a degree, was pretty good
repaired,
about
reset, rebuilt, reloaded, reset, whatever.
And then even Cora was pretty good, for the most part.
You bet.
Right? Like, yeah, you know, we made a bad play there. That can't happen. Right? And Francona would say, yeah, this is something that this player really has to get better at. There was at least some level of, you know, I don't think you're an idiot.
Oh, but Farrell?
Oh,
he talked to you like you were an 8-year-old.
Seriously.
Brutal.
Tito did a remarkable job.
Never mind the complete banana land that was Bobby Valentine.
Fresh and powerful arm. Fresh, Farrell.
Impacted the ground.
Impacted the ground to the left. Like it
a
was
strength deficit.
It was like
he lost 7 pounds yesterday.
Seriously, it's always been. Can you just talk to me?
He did bump his shoulder into a car door.
Can you just talk to me? Can you just say, look, we don't like it either. We viewed Mookie as a generational talent. We sort of get backed into a corner.
So I
look over one shoulder all the time and micromanage, I think that's a demotivator, and it doesn't allow for the creativity of the individual to come out.
Definitely demotivating. No question.
It's not an Apple Watch.
But the unlikability. And they've won four of them.
I know.
Chris Young needs the at-bats.
Meanwhile, and I always make this comparison because it just strikes me, Danny Ainge and Wick have been at it for nearly as long.
18 years.
And they've won one.
One.
One. And they are as popular as it gets, as trusted as it gets. They are exalted. They are not ripped. They are not criticized. They are.
They come off as regular guys.
They have our full trust. Well, they are more likable. I mean, that's fair.
Your trust.
But in terms of the winning, you can't compare. The Red Sox lapped the Celtics and Danny Ainge and Whit Grosek. They've lapped them four times. And we hate the Red Sox and think John Henry is an incompetent buffoon.
Guy that was fresh and powerful.
And we think Danny Ainge is Bill Belichick and the greatest of all time. It is.
He's not.
It's
a myth.
It is crazy, though.
No,
Very confident and strong.
Thank you, John.
It's striking. And honestly, I'm not sure Chaim Bloom's going to help the cause.
We've had some guys come out with some cramps.
I think this is an unrelatable automaton. I'm sure he's a good person and all this. I'm not attacking his like character as a man. But, this is going to sound a little strong to me. It's guys like Chaim Bloom that are ruining baseball. It's impossible. He's no fun. Zero fun. No, he's not one interesting sound comes out of his mouth. And I feel like he's one of these guys and is making baseball less fun by the day. And
Addison, certainly that closer B.
He might be good at his job. I hope he is. But, oh, God, how do you relate to that?
No, really. They have a serious like image relatability problem they have for a long time.
In terms of shape to his secondary pitches?
Seriously,
he was a delight.
The collection.
Whiplash type of action.
That they have brought through on this team.
Yeah, fresh and powerful arms, my favorite. You got a fresh and powerful arm. What the hell does that mean?
Closer B.
Guy that was fresh and powerful.
And that guy was Casey Stengel compared to the guy that he replaced, Bobby Valentine.
Who's grip strength that has increased.
He's completely out of his mind. So anyway, there's your
innings capability.
State of the Red Sox ownership the day after they trade Mookie Betts.
There's a stomach flu, there's a full-blown flu, and then there's a respiratory cold, head, all that other stuff. I mean, we've got a little bit of a MASH unit.
There we go. So there's that, your reaction to that. I want to do a quick Celtics minute. One of the guys they were apparently looking at that a lot of us were interested in.
Thank God I didn't get him.
Clint Capello went somewhere else. So we'll give you that topic real quick coming up right after Murray's update. Don't go anywhere.
Mookie.
Looking for hope? House of Possibilities offers children and adults with disabilities a path to greater independence. From social to recreational programs to overnight respite and career and community access opportunities, House of Possibilities is changing the way people see disabilities and their program participants see themselves. Visit houseofpossibilities.org to learn more or to support their work. That's houseofpossibilities.org. House of Possibilities. See what belonging can do.
This is Bob Soucy. The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon. As a runner myself representing the Flutie Foundation at the 2022 Boston Marathon, I'm proud to have been a teammate to many amazing Adaptive Program runners, achieving their dreams at the greatest race in the world. The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
Mike Felger, Tony Maserati, making your afternoon commute better.
Throw some, Felger. How about a mea culpa? You are wrong. Running backs do matter.
Or worse.
Yeah, I wouldn't pay him.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Meanwhile, here's a little Betts breather. Less than 24 hours until the NBA trade deadline. Tomorrow, 3 p.m., NBA trade deadline. One of the players the Celtics were linked to, Clint Capella, the center from Houston, got dealt yesterday in a four-team trade that I can't begin to break down for you. Like, I can't. I know.
Seriously.
We discussed yesterday what the Celtics package might have been between Tice and Poirier and a first-round pick and Langford or your first-round pick last year. Like that, I can tell you. What swapped between these teams? He ended up in Atlanta.
12 players were involved.
Was it Minnesota? What was the fourth team? I can't even remember. I don't want to know.
Minnesota was in it.
I don't want to know. I don't want to know. I don't care. I don't.
I do, though.
I it's just too, there's too much minutia in there. So if it's not Clint Capella, like, I wanted that trade, especially if I could get Clint Capella without having to give up Brown, Tatum, Smart, or Hayward. To me, that felt like a no-brainer to upgrade Tice and or Cantor with a clearly better player. I would have done it yesterday. The Celtics didn't. That's fine. I'll be fine as long as they do something. I think this is a year that Ainge has to do something. Why do you laugh, Stu?
He's a myth. He's not doing anything.
Okay.
He doesn't believe in this team as much as we do, Mike.
Trainer Danny is going to come into the saloon. He's going to swap his in for your in. He's going to come out on top.
It is a little much, I agree. I mean, I've been on the Trainer Danny thing for a while. Little bit of a myth. He's way more conservative than people give him credit for. Okay? But this is a year that I think they have to do something. They're the second team in the East. Murray keeps updating you on what the complete implosion that's going on now in Philadelphia. So I'm just about to officially take them off the board. And who knows? I mean, maybe they fire the coach and they get a spark and like. But
they're in a bad way right now.
I've never liked that team. Not enough shooters. Okay. So never mind anything else, that their best player is a dog. Their best player is a dog. Their second best player can't shoot, and the whole team doesn't have enough shooters. And their coach is a bozo. Like, those are big problems. So I never believed in Philly. So now you're left with Toronto, with Siakam, and what else? And I'm sorry, you should be better than every other team in the East. I saw you just walk into Miami and beat a good Heat team at their place, and it really wasn't that big of a problem for you when you were fully, firing on all cylinders. So you're the second team in the East, and Milwaukee's vulnerable. I will say it again, they are vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
You have to do something. The draft picks? The draft picks that that you keep waiting to cash in on are over. That party's over. We discussed this too. The Sacramento pick did not turn out what you wanted it to be, and now the Memphis pick is heading the exact same direction. Stop with the draft pick stuff. How many times do you have to draft? And they've drafted so many guys in the middle of the first round now that I've lost track of who they are, and I don't care who they are. I don't care. That stocky kid who shoots threes.
Shimmy.
You got the haircut. Shimmy.
Oh, Carson Edwards.
Yeah, that kid in Langford. Good. Like, huh?
I like Carson Edwards. He's good.
You do? Like, oh, so now we're just going to keep drafting the Carson Edwards of the world?
That kid needs some bigger shorts is what he needs.
He needs some bigger legs is what he needs. So that's it. It's over. The trades and all those draft picks and the lottery stuff and the ping pong ball, it's over. It's over. It's over. This is your team. So start dealing some of those guys. If those first round picks have some value left, improve your team. Because you've got a shot this year. If I were a Celtics fan and they did nothing this year, I'd be pissed.
I will be.
So I think they're going to get bench help. I don't know who it is. Maybe it's that guy from Washington you were talking about yesterday, Murray.
Beatles Latvian cousin.
Yeah, that guy.
Bertrands?
David Bertans.
Yeah, him.
Stretch 4, 43% from three-point land.
I mean, that's right up their alley.
They could
right?
be into, I saw something that they could be into if Evan Turner gets bought
Evan
out.
Evan Turner, I love.
Yeah. So, I mean, he played his best under Brad Stevens.
Brad loves him, too.
Yeah, you can have him.
As a bench scorer?
Oh, Maz.
Maz, as a bench scorer,
you are precluded from talking about this. Why do you watch the sport if you hate everyone in it?
No, it's a job. I mean, it's fine. Evan Turner's fine. It's fine, but he's not that good. I'd rather have the big guy who can shoot threes. I think that works better for them.
If you hate everyone on the floor, why do you watch this?
The rest of their guys are undersized, so they would love to have a big guy out on the perimeter or at least drag someone out of the paint.
No, I get it.
So that the rest of them go to the hoop.
I'll take whatever. The bench, I'm not as concerned about as you are.
Evan Turner.
Because, Maz, for years you talk about the benches over it. When the Celtics had this deep bench and all the green teamers were taking their pants off for this deep bench, we always said to them, guys, you only play 7 or 8 in the playoffs anyway, and the bench is overrated. So now that they have no bench, you're carrying on about the bench.
I am, because they only have 5.
And you've been saying
it would be nice to have a couple of guys on the bench.
They need size. Then I give you guys with size. You're like, I don't like them.
Well,
that's what's available. It's impossible.
I don't want a big guy who sucks just because he's big. Like that sort of defeats the purpose. No good.
Where were you with Tristan Thompson?
Oh, I'm a yes.
Yeah, I know. I know him.
I'm a no on Thompson.
Even if it just costs you buyout money.
Well, buyout money. I mean, so you're talking about like you pay him nothing?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well, sure, I would do that.
Okay, so you're going to get him and Evan Turner in March 1st.
Fine, great. You know, it doesn't change your team anymore.
No, it doesn't.
You're not giving anything.
Well,
hold on. Let me clarify something here. Just because I don't like a player doesn't mean I wouldn't take him for free. Like, if you're getting him for free, fine. Of course I'll take him. Who the hell wouldn't do that? But if you're going to say to me, I got a trade for Clint Capella, no thanks.
And you're giving up Daniel Tice?
Why would you trade for Clint Capella if you can get Tristan Thompson for free?
Why would you hold on to Daniel Tice?
This is the point. Big guys who suck, you should be able to get for free.
Okay,
I'm not going to trade for Clint Capella.
Tristan Thompson doesn't suck. He doesn't suck.
Yeah, he kind of sucks.
He doesn't suck.
Offensively, he sucks.
He doesn't suck. We don't know.
He sucks offensively.
He doesn't.
25.
And we have no idea what he's capable of because the system they play out there, he has no shot. He has no shot. They're not posting up guys and dumping it into a big guy. They're just running and chucking.
Oh, no. I read something from, I think it was Jared Weiss on The Athletic, who told me there's going to be, they don't set enough high screens, and he doesn't make sense for them. Let's pay him $18 million to come in and set a high pick.
You need guys to protect the rim and give fouls to Giannis and help build that wall and that whole thing. That's what we're talking about. You don't need offensive help.
And shoot 50% from the line?
Oh, God. So, again.
How can he defend Giannis if you can't put him in the game in the fourth quarter?
With the line.
How can he defend Giannis if you can't put him in the game in the fourth quarter?
Put anyone in the fourth quarter and foul Giannis because he doesn't shoot free throws either. Does that mean you don't want him?
No, I'd take Giannis.
Okay.
Because he can dribble and get to the hoop.
But he can't shoot the free throw, so just foul him.
But Capella can't get to the hoop.
This is my point. This is also why the Bucks are vulnerable.
Capella's useless.
I find you useless on the NBA. You hate everybody.
Now you sound like the listeners. I don't hate everybody. I just hate most people.
You'll see. The Celts have a shot this year. I'm not giving them a good shot to win at all, but they're the 2 team in the East. They're the second team. Right now, they are, I think, a game and a half behind Toronto for the 2 seed.
They're on pace for 57 wins.
Yeah, that's a good team. And they should have home court till you get to the Bucks. And I'll say it, not for the last time. The Bucks are vulnerable. And if you can get a little bit closer, who knows? Maybe you can pull off that upset, and the next thing you know, you're in the NBA Finals, which you're not going to win anyway, Felger, so why do anything? I don't know. Let's go to the NBA Finals and burn that bridge when we get there.
They'll lose to Milwaukee in 6, max.
Los Angeles will be fun.
You don't think that'd be fun? You know, that'd be worth it for the program to make an NBA Final and give those guys that experience? You know, knowing Brown and Tatum, they'd think they'd now won 6 rings because they made the thing to lose in 5. But either way, going to the Finals is a good thing, not a bad thing, Maz.
See him get crushed by the Lakers?
Going to the Finals is good, not bad. Repeat after me.
Or the Clippers?
Do you agree with that?
No, it's not necessarily good.
Really?
No.
You'd rather lose earlier in the playoffs than lose in the NBA Finals?
I'd rather win the Finals.
No. Would you rather lose earlier in the NBA playoffs or lose in the NBA Finals?
What's the difference?
About a month and a half of basketball.
Okay, so from a show content standpoint, fine.
Yeah, well, this is what we're talking about. And also a fan, you get to watch them for a month and a half, and you get to go on a run and experience and enjoy a playoff run. What's wrong with that?
Nothing.
I've been yelled at about this in the past. During the Bridges era. Yeah. So I've been there before, Maz. I know what it feels
yeah,
like.
Yeah, I mean,
here's what matters.
Great, we'll have a little bit of fun. Murray can give us a few losses.
Here's what matters.
Have a good time going to the game.
Playoff wins, okay? You can't win the championship every year. You don't win the championship every year. You're lucky if you win it once every 10. You need to be a little more realistic about that. Otherwise, it's about going on runs and going deep and getting in those games. And so any chance you have a chance to do that, do it.
Can I win 2 titles in 25 years?
Okay, and your thoughts with
that?
The bets thing after this
instead
in our long commercial-free segment.
It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter @Felger and Maz.
This is Bob Soucy. The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon. As a runner myself representing the Flutie Foundation at the 2022 Boston Marathon, I'm proud to have been a teammate to many amazing Adaptive Program runners, achieving their dreams at the greatest race in the world. The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
Looking for hope? House of Possibilities offers children and adults with disabilities a path to greater independence. From social to recreational programs to overnight respite and career and community access opportunities, House of Possibilities is changing the way people see disabilities and their program participants see themselves. Visit houseofpossibilities.org to learn more or to support their work. That's houseofpossibilities.org. House of Possibilities. See what belonging can do.
Colin Cowherd of Fox and Fox Sports.
Felger and Mazz.
Best afternoon show in America.
Mike Felger.
Felger's a smart aleck.
Tony Maserati.
You know your baseball.
Felger and Mazz.
A great show.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Have you been looking forward to Sunday night at the Yankee Stadium and that challenge?
I don't think I'll be able to go, so I don't think so.
Fortnite?
Yeah, Fortnite.
I'm only happy when it rains. I'm happy when fans say we hate you, David. I know I'll never be celebrated. I'm only happy when it rains. I know you root for me to pitch real bad. Your hate's the thing that makes me feel glad. I'm only happy when it rains. They hate me, Astro. Pour your misery down. Pour your misery down on me. Pour your misery down. Pour your misery down on me. I just want to play Fortnite.
It's a good day to go through all the Big Jim Murray's great David Price productions over the years.
We're going to miss him.
There was one of them.
Price, I mean.
That is years worth of content from that guy.
Oh, seriously.
Some of these I forget.
And, you know, we bring out the worst in him because we're just not. He is not for us and we are not for him. So it was a perfect match in terms of that, of just bringing out the douche in him. In L.A., he's not going to be pushed as much. He's not going to be as miserable. So I don't know if we'll get quite. I mean, I'm sure he's going to say something along the way.
What are you looking at, Mary Hart?
No, he will. He'll say something stupid.
So, I mean, we'll be able to circle back to it then, Murray, but it's not going to be the treasure trove. It's not going to be the daily gift that kept on giving of David Price here in Boston.
He's not going to get enough attention out there. He'll do something stupid because it's about Kershaw and, you know, all those guys have already established.
Think he cares about that?
Oh, definitely.
He does?
Yeah. I think that's what prompted this whole thing this year. Like, he was coasting along, nobody was picking on him, and all of a sudden he decided he was going to be an a-hole. And I think it was because he wanted attention. I do.
Interesting. Okay, so we'll continue your reaction to David Price and the Mookie Betts trade. Real quick, Mass has some thoughts on what the Red Sox got back here in this trade.
So look, I have my concerns. It feels to me like they gambled a little bit. And when I say gambled, I don't mean on talent. Alex Verdugo, the right fielder, or the outfielder they got from the Dodgers. I shouldn't call them a right fielder. I think there's a chance the Red Sox will play him in right. They could play him in left to move Benintendi over there. So I'm eager to see what they say. But Verdugo, as recently as a year and a half ago, was the number one prospect in the Dodgers organization. Okay, so there's ability there, but he's a little bit of a head case. And there's been some off-field stuff with him.
Was there sexual assault? Was he the one?
So he was involved in this odd incident involving a girl who was partying with some other women in a hotel room with some Dodgers players. And apparently the women in the room, this woman got really drunk or drugged out or something. And the women in the room started beating her up. And apparently some of the guys in the room, of which Verdugo was one, took a video of the incident. And somebody, not him.
One of the other prospects got grabby with her.
Yeah, yeah. And that, you know, it really caused a quite a stink. I don't think there were any legal ramifications from it or anything like that. But his reputation's a little sketchy. Okay, you know, might come from a tough background. Like,
he's also hurt, right?
He has a shoulder. No. The pitcher has a shoulder. I don't know what he has a back issue.
He's a back thing. He's not ready for baseball.
Correct.
Activity. May not be ready to start the year.
Yeah, Yeah, Verdugo has a back issue, and the other guy had a shoulder impingement during the season, and apparently he's ballooned up about, you
so
know.
Let's get to him and say, is Verdugo, is he American? Is he?
He's American. Yep. I think he was from Arizona originally. Mm-hmm. But he will be in their lineup. I mean, he's not one of these guys that you say they'll start him in AAA, or he'll be in the big leagues. He's going to be one of their three starting outfielders. The question is where. He hits left-handed, which I like. Fenway Park's a good fit for lefties who spray the ball. I think he'll spray the ball. And I don't know if he'll hit 30 homers, but he might hit 20 with a ton of doubles. And so, you know, call him a Trot Nixon type, or call him a
Andrew Benintendi,
Benintendi
is what
type.
Saying.
Yep. But those guys are similar players.
If I'm the Sox, I'm still holding on hope that Andrew Benintendi is more than
sure.
Andrew Benintendi. This is the whole point of keeping him. If he's just a middler, then, you know, I don't know. I'm hoping to see Andrew Benintendi make the jump this year that Devers made last year.
You would hope, or something close to it.
Yeah, I know he may never have the pop quite that Devers does, but as an all-around ball player, there's nothing to say, because 2 years ago we were all saying, Devers, who's this? You know, he vastly overrated. This guy can't really play. And the next thing you know, last year he was tremendous. So sometimes you have fits and starts. Bogarts was the same way. So maybe you just be patient with Benintendi. He reaches the ceilings. I'm hoping that Benintendi's more than what people just say Andrew Benintendi is.
So look, and I think this guy's ceiling, Verdugo's ceiling, is reasonably high.
Was he a first-round pick?
He was a second-round pick, but he you know, he was a good prospect.
Yep.
And so,
okay, so now the pitcher.
The pitcher is a hard-throwing right-hander who has had some command issues. He had a shoulder impingement. When I say some command issues, he's not walking eight guys per nine innings. It was in the mid-threes, but apparently some of the command stuff has gotten worse. The concern, as Murray noted, is that apparently in the last couple of years, this guy is ballooned, like plus 40 pounds. So he...
And he's 21?
Yeah, 21.
So that is...
Oof. Scary.
That is scary. Can I see pictures of him? Do we have some fat pictures of him?
I don't know if Vinny has any on the telecast.
I'll just pull him up and... go ahead. You talk. I'm going to Google him.
So, look, he throws, you know, you mentioned yesterday, how come they don't have any guys in their system.
What's this guy's name again?
That they're, Bruzdar Graterol.
Graterol.
I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right. But he's Venezuelan. He's 6'1", 265.
And just to compare...
Sorry.
Zion Williamson is 6'6", 280.
6'1", 265. Okay, he looks like he went to, you know, Summer Shack, and instead of ordering the twin lobsters, ate Howie and Sosi.
So I can relate to this. Fat face, for sure. Little doughy. Okay.
He looks like Devers a little bit.
To put on 40 pounds at 21, though, that's scary.
Yes, it is. Of course it is. So, again, the arm is explosive. 99 to 101 miles an hour on the fastball. Apparently he has a great slider. You know, there's not much of a, and I'm giving you all the nerdy baseball stuff, but he doesn't have a great, you know, change up or split to offset left.
I was going to ask is what's the secondary pitch?
Okay. So it's a slider, but he's right-handed heavy in more ways than one, but I mean that in he's more effective against righties than lefties. At least right now, it can always change with a kid. It feels like he projects as a late inning bullpen guy. He was a starter. They moved him last year because of the shoulder injury, the impingement. But again, live arm. He was in the big leagues last year, so there's a chance.
Okay. I'd rather have another year of Mookie Betts than this pitcher and this outfielder.
Okay, so it feels that way.
I'd rather have another year of Mookie Betts, and I'd rather lose him for quote-unquote nothing than have these two guys. And I don't know. I know very little about these guys, and in time, maybe they'll be players, and then I'll, you know, restate, take it back. But as it stands right now, I'd rather have a year of Mookie Betts.
Yeah, it feels to me like they shot for upside. That's what it feels like. They said, you know what, if we're going to move Mookie and we're not going to get great return because anything we're going to get is going to come with some flaw, we're going to at least take a shot that if it goes right, these guys could be good. You know, they're not Hall of Famers, either one of them, but they could be good big leaguers. And they're gambling. It could also blow up on them spectacularly.
Okay, as promised, your phones in 90 seconds after Murray's update. Don't go anywhere.
The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon.
Hi, my name is Mike Palmer, and I'm running as a member of the Adaptive Program for Runners in this year's Boston Marathon. Thanks to the Flutie Foundation, runners like me can achieve their dreams and finish the greatest race in the world.
The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
Looking for hope? House of Possibilities offers children and adults with disabilities a path to greater independence. From social to recreational programs to overnight respite and career and community access opportunities, House of Possibilities is changing the way people see disabilities and their program participants see themselves. Visit houseofpossibilities.org to learn more or to support their work. That's houseofpossibilities.org. House of Possibilities. See what belonging can do.
Hey everyone, it's Felger here. Now, you know the Sports Hub is the place to go for everything Boston sports. Well, I'd like to introduce you to another hub, the new Business Hub from Cambridge Savings Bank. It's your one-stop shop for articles, tools, resources, and banking solutions that can help you start, manage, and grow your small business. It's just the latest way CSB is supporting small businesses. Check it out at cambridgesavings.com/hub. That's H-U-B. They're a member FDIC.